All right, let's continue the elements of prayer by reading from the book of Philippians chapter 4. Last time we were here on this subject, I spent all the time talking about the fact that we should understand what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, give us this day. We're talking about the matter of this day, our daily bread. I want to just say something about that again. Although in our previous prayer meetings, I've discussed it here and there as we prayed, but let's just put this as part of our discussion in this season. Philippians chapter 4. If you're not going to worry about something, there's something you will do about it. Like I said, God doesn't expect us to focus our lives, our minds, our prayers on the things that have to do with tomorrow. I have discovered it with every passing day, my experience walking in as a Christian, the word of faith, that God really doesn't want us to worry. Are you getting my point? He really does not desire that we have any worry or any anxiety. And that no matter how wise we think we are, we actually cannot plan our lives. That's a matter of fact. You can't plan your life. You just can't plan your life. You know, I don't know how appropriate this would be as an example. I still remember the very first day I met my wife. I didn't know I was going to meet her that day. I met her that day, married her the following year. Do you understand my point? Yes. Well, I don't know why I gave as an example. Right? One of my friends, I've told this story before. The brother I met went for a birthday after church, you know, this kind of, let's go to church, birthday party. Met a naming or something. Met a woman there that day, and in 3 months they were married. That's not a joke. I mean, they had never seen each other before that day. 3 months after, they were married. And they had not American wedding, just two people just hide, rush to the registry when nobody's looking. That's not what I mean, you know. American, you wake up in the morning. Normal African wedding. In 3 months, he has proposed to the woman. She had agreed. They have visited her parents, visited his parents, done all the normal things, printed cards, arranged wedding. In 3 months, they were married. Not the story of something that happened to somebody that I read in a book. I know the person. You really can't plan your own life. And in Christianity, what God is asking us to do actually is just to trust him totally. Are you getting my point? I believe this very strongly. Where I'm going to be next year, I suspect I might know it. It might be here in Enugu, but that's what I think. Where I really am going to be, only God knows it. He's the only person. We have general ideas. We have desires. Desires are very legitimate. They are good, but they don't control the ultimate thing that happens to our lives. No, they don't. At the age of 74, Abraham thought he was made, he had settled, he had a plan and all of that. At the age of 75, God called him. Do you understand? Life took a different turn, went in a different direction. And that's a fact of life. That's what faith will take us into. But the thing I like to say all the time, which is what God wants us to know, is that you cannot imagine anything close to what God has planned for your life. When you talk about beauty, when you talk about the glory attached to it, you can't. All your plans are inferior, do you get my point, to the plan of God. You know, because of where I work in the university, something happened a few days ago. I won't give you the details, but they just changed a rule. Just, like, this is the way we're going to do this thing. And everybody was plotting and planning and rushing and working on that. Then they just changed one rule, you know? And that's it. All the plans men had before that just tumbled, went upside down. So you see, you really can't plan. When I heard that thing, I just smiled. And there was something beautiful about it, all right? It was a very personal instruction. Just a few weeks and days before that, I'd made some, some commitments, dedications. I'd made my mind up on some issues, all right? So when that thing just fell in, I just said, praise God. The Lord had essentially said, don't just waste your time, all right? These things won't work out the way men are plotting it. Do you get my point? You can't plot your life. You can't. If you allow God to plot it for you, and how do you allow God to plot it for you? It's very, very simple. It's not difficult at all. Number one thing which I emphasize all the time is that you must give attention to hearing the word of God all the time. You must. Number two thing is that each point in time, that's the way it is, God will have taught you over time as you are getting to know his word, as you are getting to interact with his spirit, of course, in the presence of the word, there are things you come to understand. And each point in life, you have to make a decision. I have to go to the left or go to the right. You use the principle that he has taught you to make that decision at that time. That's what it means when it says God is, you're walking the path of righteousness. Let me put it like that. That's just what we mean. That's the way by which you cooperate. I've said it before. He said, he that sitting that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you look at the way that scripture is saying, all right, what it was saying is simply is that what you can do is to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. But abiding under the shadow of the Almighty is not a deliberate thing. It's what God confers upon you when you have done what he calls dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. What I mean is that God allows you some things to do, then he does the rest. He's the one that will lead you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. But what does he do? You must first allow, he would instruct you, and you must allow him to be your shepherd. Are you getting my point? That is, at each point in time in life, you will have to make a choice. Just make that choice based upon the understanding that you have. Make sure you are not afraid of tomorrow. I'm back to it again. That's what I want to teach about again, this matter of prayer. You must not be afraid of tomorrow. What is going to happen to us? You know, if you watch TV, all right? If you don't have a lot of faith, you shouldn't watch TV. Like when I say TV, I don't mean home movies, no. I mean news. America is about to default on its debt. Today is what? 2nd of August, right? It's today. As of today, if they defaulted, what will have happened? And when I see all that, and they will not sit down and be analyzing. What will happen is that the rating, Standard & Poor's rating of American debt structure will go down. Therefore, the cost of lending to America will go up. Since they are this and that, at the end of the day, I say all of it is a lie. What I mean is that. Hey, my man, don't try to scare me, my friend. America, let them not pay their debts again. The young lions can suffer hunger and lack. Those that seek the Lord will not lack anything good. Every time you watch this, they are trying to scare you. You know, Bible talks about faith, all right? It's been the shield with which we quench the fiery darts of the devil, the shield of faith. What does that mean? That is, the devil is shooting fire-tipped arrows. Do you get the point? What do you mean by fire-tipped arrows? That this is shooting things into your heart to set your life on fire. Do you understand my point? That's how they used to wage warfare those days. You put fire at the tip of an arrow and shoot it. You set the city on fire without going near it. Do you follow? So he's trying to do that to your heart. So you use the shield of faith to block all those things. People start making investment decisions, business plans, life plans, because America wants to default on their debt. That's their problem. They become afraid. Go and buy gold. Go and buy gold. Go and buy gold. And buy gold. I'm going to spend my money. Praise God. You know, because they say that, you see, gold is the only, as the world is, as of today, gold is the most, which word can I use now? Stable, predictable form of money that exists. Value. You want to hold value. Gold it is. Are you getting my point? Gold, the price of gold as of today is the highest it has ever been in life, measuring in US dollars. Why? Because when Americans do what they call quantitative easing, forget the big English, it means printing money that has no value. That's what they call quantitative easing. Just go to the press and roll out cash. Once they are doing it, the currency in circulation, the value is dropping. So real investors, those who can look closely, they say they take their money out of currencies and lock it in gold. That way they are safe. And of course, because of the demand, the price is going up. And again, because the currency with which you are pricing it, the value is going down, the price relatively is also going up. Two things are shooting up the value of gold. At the end of the day, you know what came to my mind? The Bible said, gold that perishes. That's what the Bible called it. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going for the talk. The Bible calls it what? Gold that perishes. As I was watching all this analysis a few days ago, I remember one thing the Lord Jesus said. He said, do not lay up treasure on the earth. Do you understand? He said, where moths destroy and thieves do break in and steal. If moths can't destroy the gold, thieves will break in and steal it. And let me explain something to you. Thieves, there are different kinds of thieves. There are thieves that walk behind you, snatch and run. There are thieves that tap you, look at me, I'm the thief. But if you talk, I shoot you. that's the kind of thief. If you ever listen to Fela does this, Fela now talked about authority stealing. Yes. That's another kind of thief. Authority stealing are those who sit in office and just use collect state funds. But the biggest form of stealing is done, everybody says worldwide, by the governments of the countries. I'm telling you. Not illegal, it's legal. But they take money from people's pockets without people realize their money is going. There are different ways they can collect your money. Why am I saying all of these things? It is not possible to humanly secure your future. It's not possible. A few years ago, in this country, it was, and not long ago, maybe like 2 years now, if you wanted to get a very tush job, it's not like the job you're doing, you want to get a very, very good one. It's simple. Sell your father's land. Sell his house. Even if he's angry, don't worry. You will soon buy it back. Just use the money to get a foreign degree. Maybe you have a BSc in something or BA in something from any university in Nigeria. Just get an MA, MSc, MBA from UK or US. You are guaranteed a very tush job. Of course, you're not the only one that knew that. So every Nigerian found out. They started carrying every money they could find, rush abroad. And those Oyinbo people, when economy not good, they love Asians and Africans because we love their degrees. One day, when my wife went to do a postgraduate program, and I said, let me try University of Liverpool. Now, listen to this. I just put her phone number. The following day, her phone rang. She was inside the waiting market. Do you remember? Hello, am I talking to? I don't know how he said that. Was it that she told me at home? I can't hear what you're saying. See, you want to do a course in English? You can't speak English? He said, what's wrong with your father? I mean, I can't speak English. I mean, this place is noisy. Can you be asking me why I can't speak English? This is what I make. They will call, look, they will employ you. They take you first before they take their local guys. Because you go pay. So they said, you don't have to go there, sit in Nigeria like this, just pay the money. Just be doing a few courses online. They send you some books. You read it. You do your test online. Click this one. If it is correct, click that one. This is fraud. Then they give you, listen, and they tell you that the certificate will not reflect that you did it online. The person who was there and you get the same certificate. How much was everything? £15,000. Nigerians can afford that. So everybody started collecting it. At the end of the day, it doesn't have value again. Because it's not rare anymore. Maybe now we'll start looking for Asian certificates, I don't know. But the UK one is common now. You go to Lagos, say, hey, anybody with UK degree here? They go show up, say, what? I'm not going to say, all these plots we make to secure future, none works. And don't get there to find out. Trust the word of God. Trust his prophet, you know. Believe it. It doesn't work. I'm not saying degrees is wrong. I told you, my wife is doing a postgraduate now, but I was investigating that because she wanted to do it. She's not looking for a job just to keep learning. Now I've been saying it. Do things for more noble purposes. You have to keep learning. It's good to keep your brain sharp. It's very good. The other day, when I was on this Radio Nigeria FM program again on last Friday. And the person asked me, okay, what do you think people should do? There's a way he framed the question. One of the things I told him, I said, listen, sir, there's famine in Somalia, and where else now? Is it Chad? Those countries here, East, Northern Africa there. All right? And I mentioned it. I said, do you know, as of today, the world is still throwing away 30% of all the food they produce. Not as it rotted away. It's they just say, I don't like this one. Print it to dustbin. I said, what does that tell you? The ability to manage resources is a major problem we have on the earth. So I said simply, one of the things people can do is to learn how to manage resources. Do you get my point? So it's good to acquire the knowledge. It's good to acquire the understanding. It's good to acquire the information. But if you think that is security for tomorrow, failure. Failure. And let me tell you something. This life moves in cycles. At least, God placed me at a time, you know, my left leg is in one generation. The other one is the next generation. That's why I'm in the transition. At least I was very young, but I saw it happen. When people will rush abroad, finish reading, and come back home. No, so. Because it was happening. Then as I was growing, I saw people abandon everything and going. While I'm watching, they don't reverse again. Can you see? One generation rush to go to school, rush back home to get the jobs. Then after a while, one generation abandoned all the jobs and went somewhere else to go and work. Now they are returning back. Listen, that's another point. There's no security in Nigeria too. There's no security in America. There's no security in Europe. There's no security in Nigeria too. I'm not saying Nigeria is secure. You don't say that. No. What I am saying that only in God, the Bible says, are righteousness and strength. That scripture is very important. Let's just read it and I get into my message for today. Isaiah chapter 46. Well, okay, actually Isaiah chapter 45 is into 46. Let's start from verse 22. It said, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back." What is the word? "That to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who are angry at him shall be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring," that's standing for the church of Christ, "all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory." The next line says, "Baal has bowed down, Nebo stoops over." And that refers to the things that people put their trust in, every material things. That's what he calls idols. "Their images are consigned to the beasts and the cattle. The things that you carry," he says, "are burdensome, a load for the weary beast." He said, "They stooped over, they have bowed down together. They could not rescue the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity." Listen, many of the things people are putting their trust in, you will watch it, that very thing will go into captivity. I mean, countries that men wanted to put their trust in, the countries are going into captivity. You are getting what I'm saying? Look, many places, you know, there was a day, one of my friends said something. He said that, now listen to this, "You left Nigeria and you went to UK. And UK is a good country." Amen? Say amen if you believe it. Amen. It's a good country. Eh? It's not a bad place. But after some time, the man said, "I'm already thinking, maybe I should do these exams and go to the US. Ah. Now, I have a problem with that. What is driving you up and down? That's the question I always like to ask. Do you follow my point? The simple problem is that when Christians are not careful as to put their trust in God, God puts the very things that they put their trust in, puts that thing into captivity. Do you get my point? Yes, the thing goes into captivity. I told you once, I was talking with my mother. My mother called me then when my younger brother, Deji, this was shortly after his youth service, he was trying to get employment, that I should pray. I said, no problem. That he applied for a job in NNPC. So it was funny to me, Deji, NNPC. NNPC is a good place. Amen? The only problem is that you know person where you know. I didn't see the relationship between his thinking and petroleum. It was a bit difficult for me. So I said, all right, no problem. So years and much later, I now asked my mom, so how far would I go? He said, you know Nigeria now. You know Nigeria. They've already decided those they wanted to take. I said, so I now said something. I said, well, actually, I prayed those. Not if I didn't pray. Just that I was wondering, what was the issue with NNPC? Ah, she now said, you know now, government things are better. Eh? He said, you know government things, they're usually better. That is, they are more secure, you have better job security. Hey! He said NNPC is a government company. I just said so was NITEL. What did I say?
So was NITEL.
And of course, many of you know, NITEL was a government. Look, listen, then you worked in NITEL, you were a king. But your pastor will give you a special seat in front. I didn't say you're an engineer. You're just a bloody technician there. One low-level technician. But you're a powerful man. Except that one day, one man called Olusegun Obasanjo became president. Appointed one man called Ernestine Dukwe as NCC chairman. And there's another guy. Anyway, between all of them, they arranged and issued licenses to GSM companies. And since then, the life of NITEL has not been the same. One day, NITEL was advertising a trade fair, which come and collect line for 5,000 naira. And my wife and I laughed, say, we don't want oil. Why don't we want? Because when I was living in France, Sekulu, shortly after I came to Enugu, one day somebody came and said, oh, God, I have a NITEL line for you. I said, praise God. How much? Listen to this. 60,000 naira. And I said, no problem. I shall buy it. Where is it? And he said, God, you will pay now. You collect it in 3 months. I said, sorry, I'm not interested. He said, it's a good deal. I said, I'm not interested. But that's how precious NITEL lines were those days. I said, I'm going to. At the point in time, they were offering for 5,000 naira. And then the workers would now go to court to restrain the government from sacking them. And of course, they kept on sacking. They were sacking everybody. They are still sacking till today. Now, who will buy NITEL? They've tried to sell it how many times? I've lost count. If you can count, you are very good with mathematics. I have lost count. Always trying to sell NITEL. But it was a government company. A time will come, the same story will be told of NNPC. Not because NNPC is bad, but because only in the Lord are righteousness and what? And strength. So that day I said, I could. But there was no point. There was no point talking to my mother because the generations are too different. They are too different. She grew up with the generation that you worked for government, you were secure all your life. But you and I know, government doesn't even pay pension anymore. As you are working, you'll be taken from your salary and be investing it in what they call pension management companies, whatever they call it. At the end of the day, they'll be paying you as they are making money from the stock market. So when you hear stock market crashes, it's people's pensions that's going. Why? Because God says, only in the Lord are what? Righteousness and strength. You can't, look, there's no security anywhere else. There's none. Now, that's not my message for today, though. I spent a lot of time talking about it. I said we should open somewhere. Philippians chapter 4. Actually, everything I've said is a very good background for what we want to read that Philippians chapter 4. From verse 4, where I'm going is verse 6, as part of our elements in prayer, but I needed to say everything I said so far so as to get the foundation right. Like I said, the words of Jesus in that Matthew chapter 6 has many things. They have many things implicit in them. Those words have many things implicit in them. That is, there are things that are inside without being said outwardly, explicitly. Alright? And this is one of those things. We'll get back to that Matthew chapter 6 where we read last time about the prayer for the day. It said from verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. As a commandment, so you must make up your mind to be joyful. He said, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious. Verse 6, that's what I really want. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me just read that from the Amplified translation, just to bring out the force in those words a bit more. Philippians chapter 4. I just read that verse 6. He said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, that is definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. He now said, well, let me just leave that next verse. I just want to emphasize that verse 6. Now, when the Lord Jesus said something to us, and I said this, I think, like I said, I would discuss when we were talking about prayer some time ago. When the Lord said, don't worry about tomorrow. Limit your prayers to today. You see that from the book of Matthew chapter 6, which we have been reading again and again, both in the early parts and then in the latter parts, when he said, take no thought for the morrow, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed. All right? He said, for all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. He said, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom, verse 33, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow. That's exactly what Paul was talking about. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That is, the trouble for each day was what he now taught us to pray about in that earlier part of that chapter, when he said, give us this day our daily bread, our daily supply for the troubles of each day. We've discussed that last time. I'm not going over that again. Now, if you are going to limit your focus to the things of today, the things that are immediate. Now, let me quickly say this. When we say people shouldn't worry about things that of tomorrow, all right? And we're not saying that you shouldn't send your child to school because you are not worried about tomorrow. You know, sometimes Christians, that's the problem we have with interpreting divine principles, all right? When he said that this world is not our home and Jesus is coming soon. So people stopped going to work. Now, look, there was a season, all right, in which if you gave your life to Christ, the implication was intense. You understand my point? When I say intense now, suddenly you go to your wardrobe and kill a lot of clothes you wear. And I actually think these days, people should still kill a lot of clothes they wear. All right? If a lot of young ladies, they give their life to Christ, I will beg them, go and kill some of this attire of harlots. Yes, all right? But what I mean is that sometimes we carry those things beyond what was reasonable. A lot of people didn't go to work anymore. They didn't go to school anymore. Why? Because they were the things of this world. And Jesus is coming soon. So if you are studying today now to become, let's say, an engineer, by the time you are graduating, Jesus will have come and your engineering will have no use. Please, that is carrying the truth beyond what is reasonable. Are you getting my point? If you are a young man, if you are a young woman, there is a season of learning. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what I want to emphasize. It's not just, you see, we make the mistake of thinking that the reason why you go to school is because of anxiety about tomorrow. In life, you must be useful. Do you follow my point? Like I was referring to what I said on radio, that people must learn so that they will be able to impact their societies. It's important. In life, you must be useful. You can't, look, God will not use your empty head to impact anybody's life. God is not the God of the ignorant. Amen? Now, we have to clarify that. God is not a God of stupid people. We often talk as if God is a God of idiots, all right? That he likes the congregation of ignorant people. Listen, he does, even if he accepts them, he doesn't leave them ignorant. Do you follow my point? Listen to me. He accepted Peter, James, John, fishermen when they were wise people, that is, educated people. But by the time he was through with them, when Peter spoke, people opened their mouth. Do you follow what I'm saying? When Peter spoke, people said, what? When did this man learn so much? What does that tell you? From having been with Jesus for a while, he had become learned. He had understood things that the other people who went to the common schools did not understand. Do you follow my point? With God, stupid people are welcome. Smart people are welcome. God does not discriminate and say, listen, I only want idiots. No. If you're a professor, you can be a Christian. Amen? Amen. And if you're a moron, God will remove the moronity of your... Is that, tell me what like that? Yes. God will convert it to godly wisdom. It's very important. I just need to emphasize that. So, we don't learn because we are afraid of tomorrow. We learn because part of the thing you know about God is knowledge. You hear the word wisdom, knowledge, understanding. These are the traits of God. Do you follow my point? Yes, like with God, it's very crucial that you don't try to dictate things in life according to human knowledge. But understanding is crucial. I was still reading this book today, Mover of Men and Mountains, by Arjun Lotono. You see the man, look, talking about how it is crucial that all the wisdom that men, he was talking about people who research into space and all of that. He said it's okay, But by the time you finish, it's my job as an engineer to convert all the understanding you have derived from this your research into space to practical benefits for mankind. So he calls himself, he said, I'm a mechanic whom the Lord has blessed. Do you follow my point? The man had understanding, he had wisdom. All right? God gave it to him. So I'm just saying that that's very important. We'll get that one clear. So it's not that once you're a Christian, I mean, there was a time there are people who taught it. Christians are not supposed to be found in universities. And people actually used to obey those things. And you don't blame the amount of knowledge that was available. Once you gave your life to Christ, you left school. If your trousers were fine before, you go and wash them till they fade. They start walking around saying, this world is not your home. All right? That was a season. No, we're not laughing at anybody. If you were there too, you would have done it. Just that now, God has given us so much understanding. Now, we're preaching that if you understand the word of God, if you go to that class, you should have the understanding of Daniel. So it's a different focus. It's because God gave us new light, all right? He allowed us to understand what he's really saying. Do you follow my point? So I was saying that if we're not going to have anxiety about tomorrow, and those things do come to mind, listen, when you're a single man, as an example, and not too many people depend on you, it's very easy to think you have faith. Yeah, yeah. Nobody's depending on you. You don't have wife, children, you know, no aged mother to take care of. You're just a young boy. You're the one everybody's taking care of. So you wake up in the morning, hallelujah. You're confessing all kinds of scriptures. It's not your fault. You do have a lot of responsibilities. It's good. Confess them at that time. All right? Listen. In all honesty, the scripture starts taking more, starts having more weight when you really have, when demand is made, all right, in your life. Today, something happened. Not a big deal, though, just that my son jumped out of the car, wanted to come into my car, and ran across a car that was trying to reverse. You know, I was going to the gym, you understand, so I was wearing shorts, so I didn't come out of my car. Initially, I saw my wife somewhere in front of a bank. When, you know, I didn't know when I jumped out of the car with my shirt. Everybody was wearing suits and all of that because I jumped out to pursue the boy. By the time I got back into the car, I had a headache. Yes. Fix you. Next time, don't do that. You know, those things come on. You now understand when the Bible talks about the peace of God. By the time I finished, I said, God, you see, we have to talk. I need the peace of God that passes all understanding, that will make, allow me cross my leg when Victory is crossing the road without being bothered. If your son is not crossing the road yet, you won't understand the need for that thing. Because if you died now, people just say, oh, what a pity. That's all. Nobody's school fees is going to stop because of you. You're not paying any before. Are you getting my point? Yes. Nobody's house rent is stopping because of you apart from your own. And the landlord will give the house to somebody else. Maybe so. Yeah, these are realities. Do you follow? But the truth is that God actually spoke those words for those situations. And it's when you face them, you're not really, you're able to understand why the Lord spoke about those things. All right? Now, I'm saying something. So when we say don't have any anxiety about tomorrow, what I'm going to emphasize is the fact that the reason why it was spoken, all right? Look, their gospels don't preach to 15-year-olds. Say, you come to the fellowship of 15-year-old people. Praise the Lord, oh, single, single. What you be teaching those one is how to do put your account to the Lord. Because they don't have any anxiety about tomorrow. They don't have. They don't have the capacity to have it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. They understand fully, without the Bible, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. They know it by nature. They live only for today. Young for 14, 15, 16 year olds. What do you concern them? I said they'll sit morning, afternoon, and night. Be watching Big Brother Africa. When you see, they get to where 40 something year old men are gathered, 30 something, no, even 20 something year old young men and women are gathered. But their life is taking a different shape. You have to have a job, you have to pay your bills. You have to marry the wife or marry the husband. And then, when they come born the children, you have to nurse them. They must go to school. They did not tell you how school fees is rising. All the private schools have connived to conspire to agree to triple school fees, and your employer has refused to double pay. Ordinary minimum was 18,000. The whole nation is catching fire. So now when you go to church and they say, have no anxiety about anything. Amen! Amen! Praise God! Preach it, preacher! You will understand it that time. You will understand it that time. Because, you know, when I was much younger, right? I didn't know. I couldn't understand why my mother seemed always to be awake. When anytime you wake up, she seems to be awake. She sleeps, but I didn't think, I thought maybe when you grow older, that's how your sleep starts getting shorter. When people say they are worried, I didn't understand the concept of worry. What do you mean by worry? The only worry I ever had was maybe I had malaria and I would feel uncomfortable. That was the only worry, you know what I mean? Not any serious worry. I used to sleep. Sleeping was my nature. You understand my point? People say, I'd be on the bed for 1 hour before I sleep. I'm like, what? Are you on drugs? No, that's the way I used to think about it. Because me, as I'm falling down the bed, one, maybe 2 seconds before my head hits the pillow, I'm already asleep. Hey! Do you follow what I'm saying? Because, you know, now when I have children, at that point, I actually wake up during the night, stroll over to their rooms, check each person, to the next room, check each person, how they are sleeping, rearrange the children, close the curtain. Who put this fan on? You quench the fan. Today, after that incident at the bank, I gathered all my children. I said, everybody, join hands. In Jesus' name, they said amen. Lord, nobody here will be knocked down by a car. Everybody say amen. I was praying for myself, not them, actually. That prayer was so that I might tap into the peace of God that passes all understanding. The day I went for their graduation in school, I saw one of my sons just run to the swing, you know? They were just swinging. They're supposed to do graduation. They did something that I wanted to jump from my seat. You know, when you are swinging, when you want to come down, you flex your leg a bit, take it out of rhythm, the swing slows down, and it slows down, and you come down. The guy was just going to, when he was trying to come down, the thing reached his peak, he flew off from there. You can guess who did that. And as he flew up, he landed, bam! Dusted his trousers and walked away like nothing happened. I can't say, you go begin praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, are there no ministering spirits sent forth but to minister to those who are the children of those who inherit salvation? You add your own scripture to it. Yes, it becomes real. I mean, these kids go to school, you're not there to watch them. This guy, with all the crowd there, just sneak to this. I just saw the guy, next thing, and somebody said, everybody, leave that play arena. I thought the man just, as the thing just went up to the peak like this, just as if he suspended himself there, the swing went back and he landed. Twice, dusted his trousers and walked away like nothing happened. So that was why I gathered them today. I said, guys, everybody join hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, no, I name them one by one. Nobody will be knocked down by a car. Nobody will this. Your angels will protect. They were saying amen. I realized I was praying for my peace of mind. Yes, I was. I was. I don't want them to be injured, but man, my reaction sometimes is a cause of injury itself. That's to myself, not to them. Do you get my point? Now, what am I saying? Yes, we're not supposed to worry, but the cause for worry is real and out there. That's what I'm emphasizing again. And God didn't say, just carry your eye away. See, there are two groups of people. You know, I've been saying it. There are foolish people and there are people of faith. A foolish person is the person who has not even considered the dangers. I don't know what the hell I said. A foolish person does not even understand there are dangers. Okay? Now, but a person of faith is a person that first understands that there are dangers. Do you follow? and his apparent carefree attitude is because he has taken the fears to God in prayer, prayed about it, and then the peace of God has now settled upon his mind. So you see the idiot, you know, the fool. He doesn't understand there are dangers. You see the man of faith. They look alike. He knows there are dangers, but his own rest is born out of faith. That is, he knows that indeed there are dangers, but God is helping me take care of even the dangers I don't know are there. But that person, the day danger will show, he will be so shocked, he will be knocked out of his senses because he never thought that they were there. We are not fools, amen? Amen. We are people of what? Faith. And that's what I'm sitting on. When we identify those things, listen, it's not about closing your eyes. Now, I was telling a story the other time that I listened to in Ken Hagin's message. I'll listen to it again today. And he said that those days, when he will have the feeling that his wife will die early, he will try and, you know, run away from it and all of that. Okay? He will pray about it, he'll pray around it a bit, but generally he ignored it. Try to pretend that it's just a feeling. Maybe it's not real. Maybe it's just, you know, like we say, maybe it's the devil trying to scare me. Maybe just my flesh cooking up unnecessary anxieties. All right? Until things began to happen. When his wife became ill, and she was almost choking, he was almost choking to death. Do you follow? Then he now realized at the point that he began to pray. He prayed hard about it. He told the Lord straight, I've always had the feeling this woman is going to die early. Do you follow? I've always had that feeling. And that's what I'm talking about here. That knowing the dangers is not like you're not walking by faith. It is not to close your eyes to say, no, I don't care. There are people who don't care, not because they don't, they have the faith, but because they have just deliberately closed their eyes to the dangers. It's called the ostrich phenomenon. Bury your head in the sand, it will go away. That's not what we are preaching. That's not what we are teaching. No, it's not. As Christians, you know what the Bible says? It says, Abraham, quickly go there. Romans chapter 4. Where I'm going is verse 19, but I like to just take it in context. I'll rush from 16 and then get down to that 19 fast. So if you're in 16, you'll see me jumping here and there. He said, for this reason it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants. In verse 17, he says, as it is written, a father of many nations I have made thee, in the sight of him who he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead, and calls into being that which does not exist. I like in James, he says, and call those things that be not as though they were. In verse 18, he says, in hope against hope he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, please notice verse 19. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured or persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Let me stop there. But go back to that verse 19. He said, and without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. If you have a King James, you may see something like, he contemplated not. Yeah, that's if you have a King James. But that's not the correct rendering. Check every other translation. They say all the same thing. That he contemplated his body. I guess when the translators got there in King James time, they wondered that no, there must be a mistake. So they said he did not. But go and check it. Check 100 translations that you can find about from King James. It will tell you he contemplated his body. He looked at it. Let me just give other references. Now, look at the way New Living Translation says it. NLT. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though he knew he was too old to be a father at the age of 100. And Sarah, his wife, had never been able to have children. I like the way he says, even though what? He knew. That's how he says it, okay? That is, the issue is that he knew about it. He checked it. I like the way he says in that New American Standard, that he contemplated, he looked at it, knew what was going on. All right? NIV, Anglicized Version. He said, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Yes, I like that. I think that's so explicit. That's NIV. He said, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. And also that Sarah's womb was also dead. What am I saying? Faith does not mean we don't face what is there. Do you get my point? You know what it means, however? Is that we take them one by one as they come up. He said, cast your burdens upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Do you follow? Listen. If, I think we've discussed it before, go and check some of those are our prayers about maybe sometime last year. If your problem, that is, if it comes to your mind again and again, that the way the world's economy is going, you will never have a job. Now listen, don't pretend, if something scares you, don't pretend like it doesn't scare you. Are you getting my point? Now, I've said it before. One of the greatest things you can do for yourself, and I keep on saying it, is to be very sincere to yourself. If you got my mail recently, one of the, you know, there's this series I started now, I call it Tips of Righteousness, all right? I just drop small, small things, all right? Tips. Sometimes people hide, that is, they put a cloak of strength upon their weakness. It's a weakness, but they pretend as if it's strength. You understand my point? You see a very stingy man tell you that I'm very prudent. As if prudence and being mean, they go together. You can be prudent and be generous. All you need to do is plan for generosity. That also. That's the prudence. You see a man who doesn't respect the elders, say, I'm not afraid of anybody. Nice look as if, you know, my own is, I'm not afraid. As if those who are respectful are afraid. Do you get my point? That's what I mean by insincerity. You are not sincere to yourself because you don't know what you can, what you'll be able to do about the situation. All right? Now, one of the greatest things I said again, to you can do for yourself in life is to just be sincere to yourself. Face the fact. Do you get my point? The reason is because you see, you're not hiding from it, so you are going to overcome it. I'm not saying you face the fact and make your judgments based on that fact. Like Abraham. Abraham did not make his judgment based on the fact that his body was as good as dead. He faced it. He knew it was so. Then he, with respect to the promise of God, he now weighed the deadness of his body, put it beside the promise of God. Then the promise of God won. You know the advantage of that? Nobody can scare you after that day. Do you follow my point? Yeah, nobody will be able to scare you. If you hide, what will happen is that somebody will come, a satanic voice will come one day and bring up before your eyes the things you are hiding from. Do you follow my point? I like what the Bishop Oedipo said once. He said before he entered into ministry, because the Lord made it clear to him he had to go into what we call full-time ministry. He said, you have to ask him, where will my food come from? Do you follow my point? Some will say, praise God, you know, I don't need food. I mean, these are the things of this world. What is a man eating for? You'll be deceiving yourself. The more you preach, the leaner you become. You'll be deceiving yourself. When you see a preacher who's adding weight, you now start saying he's not fasting. Because you're angry. Now, how come God is giving him food? He's not giving you food. The difference is simple. He faced the fact, said, Baba God, hunger no go keep person so. It was an honest question, and he prayed about it. Like Bishop said, and the Lord spoke to him, and he told him things. And based upon that, you know, I was discussing with you the other day. Now, just by the way, he said, God told him that I will cause those who you have blessed to return material things to you. So Bishop says, therefore, he said, this is how I will get my food. I'm not playing with anybody. I'm not lobbying with anybody. I'm going to sit down every day, study the scriptures, pray, make sure that anytime they encounter me, there's blessing. Do you understand the point? In the year 1994 or so, Alan, give or take 1 year, listen to this. He said, the personal income he got, personal money given to him directly, was 6 million naira above that which all Winners Chapel got put together. I don't know what I heard. I said, if you go for a breakthrough seminar, see offering, you'll be afraid. If you want to give offering, sometimes you have to dodge, lest it falls on you. the weight of money people give as offering. He said, put all of that together in that whole year. Add 6 million naira to it. That was the amount of money I got personally. There are some people that cannot be tempted to steal ministry money. They are richer than the ministry. I remember then when he was saying, he said that he's tired of traffic. I don't know whether he has done it now. That to solve traffic problems, he's going to buy a helicopter. And he promises he will just dip his hand in his pocket and pay. Nobody will hear about it. Helicopter is not a big cow. But you don't calculate it. By the time you buy, maybe like 20 million. I lie. I don't know how much they sell it, but you're not talking 20 million here. That's for jeeps. If you buy a brand, buy one cool, brand new, Land Cruiser, it's like 16 million naira. That's not the price of a helicopter. Now, I'm going somewhere, all right? At the beginning, you know what he did? He faced a fact. Oga, that's Baba God. I see too many hungry pastors. I don't want to join them. I will serve you with all my heart, but please, this one that you say I mustn't do anything else, where will my food come from? Do you follow what I'm saying? When he says, don't have any anxiety about anything, he didn't say, don't have anxiety and walk away. Did he say so? He said, but when a matter wants to be a cause of anxiety, then we settle down properly. Like I told you today, when I saw my son run, you know, parking lots in a bank, that GT on Rangers Avenue, you know, can be quite busy, people reversing. And you know, he's a 3-year-old boy. Nobody expects him to be there, so they are going to reverse, not checking whether the child is there. Nothing happened though. It's not that anything happened. But the whole scenario just played in my head. It's not just saying, take your time, don't do that again. Of course, I did that initially. When I go home, in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. I knew I needed that peace. So I got home and turned the matter to what? A matter of simple, it's not long, it's not all night prayer. If you want to pray it all night, fine. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not necessary. So if a matter, look, that's why when Jesus said, concern yourself about the matter of today. If the matter of tomorrow, I'm putting many things together now, wants to be a cause of anxiety, pray about it. And, you know, there was something that message I was referring to, that Kenhagen message, I quote it a lot this day because I listened to it all the time over the last few weeks now. So, I'm going to get something he said. He said that one day, after that prayer, he prayed for his wife. It was in a prayer meeting, or they just finished praying, yes. And the Lord just appeared to him in a vision and just said to him, go and tell your wife to be operated on. She won't die. All right? Now, let me not go detail about the gist. He said, the Lord now told him that I'm going to do that, that it wasn't, listen to this, that it was in divine destiny that she should die early. And that was why he always had the feeling that this woman wouldn't live long. And when he told his wife that the Lord said, I should tell you, you are going to be operated on and you will not die. The wife said, I always knew that if I went for that surgery, I wouldn't come out alive. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, he said, when the Lord told him that, what the Lord told him that is this. He said, it was in divine destiny that she would die early. He said, but I'm going to let her live just because you asked me. He said that there are so many things I want to do for my children, but they just will not ask. Kerenhagen added a clause to it. He said, they do a lot of complaining, claiming they are praying, but they are not really asking. He was trying to explain it. A lot of people whine. That's why I told you before, it sounds like a joke, but let's bear it in mind. Many people say prayers, they don't pray. So, a young man said, as a joke I read, but the lesson is crucial. He said, our Father who art in heaven, and the Lord answered, what can I do for you? And he said, don't disturb me, I'm saying my prayers. It sounds like a joke, but it's a matter of fact. Do you know, we don't really take things to God simply in prayers. We don't. I said to us something last time, let me say it again. Anything you legitimately identify as being in this season, give us this day our daily bread. Anything you ask that's your bread for that day, God will give it to you. He will. Now, I didn't want to tell you today, if anything looks, because this was going to happen, let me just talk simply, according to my scriptures. If this was going to happen, if you see anything that appears like trouble, let me give you an example. This may sound funny, but these are realities. There is a way maybe your father used to behave or your mother used to behave, any one of them. Okay, let's take your mother now as an example. All right? Or your father. All right? And then you're a woman. And then one day you discover that trait in your husband. Do you get my point? Let me just say this to you. Some people say, I reject it. And, you know, this I reject it is, you know, this is not my portion. It's just a church terminology. Muslims say it now. Hindus say it. Once they are Nigerians, they say it. I reject it. Not my portion. Not my portion. Not my portion. You will tell a patient, this is the diagnosis. No, not my portion. It's not of faith. It's not of punish you, doctor. How can I tell me I have that kind of thing? It's not out of faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. If you discover something like that, and suddenly the thing grips you with fear. Are you getting my point? Let me say this. It could be the devil. I'm not saying it's not the devil, but I don't think it's the devil. Oftentimes, it's a warning sign. So you know what you do with it? There are two ways. You go and meet it and turn it to contention. You won't do to me what my father did to my mother. You start gyrating all over the place. You now become a contentious wife. Every miracle meeting you go for, who needs a special anointing today? You are there in front. See, you're not praying. You are disturbing the realm of the spirit. You're causing commotion. The man will soon start drinking because of you. And it is that drink he did not want him to drink. You are getting what I'm trying to say? That is the very drink he did not want him to drink. Now they make you do. You see, let me tell you something. You know how you know you are confused in life? Listen to me. I want to say this directly, wherever you are hearing this from. Once you start looking from one church to another, from one crusade to another, in search for answer to your problems, just know you really have a problem. You get my point? That problem is not what I'm talking about, but you're running up and down. It's the real problem you have. Once you hear this preacher has come to town, you are dead. Your son is smoking Igbo. And the solution is you are going from one church to the other. The boy will smoke cocaine. Look, I mean what I'm saying. No. I don't mean that's a joke. I'm talking to Christians, not to Muslims. A Muslim should go from one mosque to the other. It's fine. Amen? But a Christian? Those are the times you return to what they call closet. If you don't have one before, buy one. That is when you will settle down. If you have look, may you have a good friend. I don't mean a friend that you went to school together or that you're in the same office. I mean a good friend. People that you can open your heart to. And people who know the word of God like you. You must never have a friend as a Muslim like that. Yeah, I have nothing against Islam. Now I'm talking about just as a reference to those who are not true believers in Christ Jesus. You don't need them. Do anybody that will give you nonsense advice? No. Make sure and pray about it that God should supply you a friend that's of like faith. So that when matters are down, you open your heart to the person, you will join hands and pray about it. When anything comes out, it's not time for running up and down. It's not time for contention. Maybe you had a brother who was a real rascal, bad boy to the core, is currently in jail. Then now you have a son. At the age of 5, you remember what your brother used to do. That time you were 8. Your son has begun it. Hey! You see what I'm saying? Don't just say he's just a boy. Hey, wait.
It's not just a boy.
I will cast out this evil spirit out of him. Yes, it's crucial. So what I'm saying is that if anything comes up with a matter of anxiety, no, we don't dismiss it, we just dismiss it. God didn't say dismiss it. He said, don't worry about it. But this is how you will not worry about it. Not worrying about it is the manifestation of the work of the peace of God. The peace of God is not the state you are in. It's a spiritual force that God puts into you. It will manifest as peace, one of them. One of the things it manifests is as healing. One of the ways by which it manifests as prosperity, and I can prove it to you. So when you get there, say, peace be upon this home. He said, there's a man of peace there. The man is a man of peace. Yet, peace will rest upon him. What does that tell you? What we are giving him is not what he had before. Do you follow my point? So, when you will not worry because the peace of God has come upon you. Do you follow my point? Now, how will it come? He said, when you identify the cause of worries, then with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you take the matter to God. That's how we'll handle things of tomorrow. That's what I'm saying. You are in school. They bring a guest speaker to your campus. And he has spoken and discouraged you. You know, that's what happened to a lot of people who ran to different countries to go and suffer. Yeah, you know, that's what happened. A lot of people ran away. Hey, Jesus Christ. I remember this story I've told a number of times. Somebody who could pay for, they had this illegal arrangement. No, to go abroad now is easier. I hope you know. It's not hard. That's because nobody is going again. There was a time that I think was rock hard. I remember. There was this company in Lagos that used to do arranging. They will help you get visa. But to get that visa, you go learn Atilogu dance. You didn't hear me? You didn't hear me? You will learn to dance. Go. You will learn it. Because now, please get what I'm saying. I was a resident doctor. My salary in a month was like 10,000 naira. Yet, those guys were charging $500,000 per head on top of the fact that you had to learn Atilogu. It sounds like a joke, but God in heaven, who I'm preaching his word, knows I'm not joking. This was what really happened. It really, 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 really happened. To go, what they used to do is that they would plan like a cultural troop. And that's the trick they used to get all of you visas. You do not plan tours all over America. So you're not be part of the cultural troop. So for you to be part of that cultural troop, Yeah. They had one Big Brother camp. I didn't read in a book. I know the people. I know the people. One of my friends was there working for them. He was one that came to give me the real gist. So, to be able to join that group, to be able to go abroad, you will join the group. They will go and camp you like Big Brother Africa. Choreographers, you go dancing. You know why? Because they will not have a command, what they call command performance, and invite the staff of the American embassy. Nigerians are tough. Sicilians should have come to us to learn how to run a mafia. The American embassy will come. And you will be on the, oh God in heaven, on top of your $500,000. You'll be there entertaining on your women. Go. There were things I saw, I swore that God, even if I will die in poverty, kill me now with hunger. I won't do that one. Not the message I preached to you. You see, this, that's where they came from. I look and say, At low goodness. On top of my $500,000. Because I want to go to America. I come to Lagbaja. Go buy Jefakata. You know what it means? It's no go better for America. Lagbaja. See, wait. My $500,000. On top of that, I go dance. Who you want to give me a visa? It sounds funny. But you know why I'm telling the story? There was one man there. He paid for three people.
Oh, that's what I'm telling the whole story. When my friend told me, I couldn't believe it. Listen. Working as a resident doctor, I was earning 10,000 naira every month. One man brought out 1.5 million bucks and was still willing to do Atilogu dance to go to America. $1.5 million. When a resident doctor was collecting 10K in a month, you had 1.5 million. Obviously, your father sinned. You have sinned also. And God is punishing your whole lineage. That's the only explanation. No, what other explanation can you give me? He did not steal the 1.5 million. I happen to know he was working in a company that paid him that well. My brother, I said, only Satan can blind a man like this. You know what I'm saying all this is? Why was he thinking like that? It's simple. June 12 crisis, he was there. Do you get my point? He saw the troubles in the country. And he went, obviously, to a church, in quotes now, that one is a bar, it's obviously not a church, all right? That's what I'm calling church. He went to a bar where the ministers, the preachers, his friends, as they are devouring gouda and star, and too much gouda and too much star opens the doors for evil spirits, you suddenly have an anointing to preach. If you don't believe, you go downstairs this night, after a knock like six bottles, you go preach. Yes, it's called spirit. That's alcohol, it's not spirit. It's an inspiration. It inspirits you. You understand? It will endue you with power from the bottle. There's power from on high. There's one from the bottle. Both of them give you inspiration. It's what you now say that is the issue. When you are inspired with the spirit of Gouda and star, you start prophesying doom, calamity, trouble. You know, in this country, things are bad. All of us are just going to die for nothing. If nothing is done, we're in trouble. The last week, you know, my friend's son went to school. A car just knocked him down. He died. And the doctors were there. They couldn't do anything. Foolish doctors. And on top of that, the police arrested the father. Foolish police. They said, "For what is it? They charge him for careless handling of children. This country is bad." The anointing goes down. It takes another bottle. It comes back again. I heard that the banks are collapsing. Oshoni Bank now has collapsed into what do you call it? Eco Bank. He said they merged though. He used the word collapse. All of this you are there hearing. And the word is becoming flesh. You see what I'm saying? Is the fact that they were paying this guy so much didn't make sense anymore. He had heard so much ministration of Satan that when he wakes up in the morning, as he's about to come out of his house, fear grips his soul. You see what I'm saying? Fear grips him. He looks ahead. He sees two children hawking oranges on the road, and he sees the face of his own children. You see the face of his children under the fan. Why? Because the church he went yesterday night, the preacher who was inspired by those bottles, was declaring to him the counsel of Satan. And the disturbance of the devil, which passes all understanding, has scattered his soul. Because the peace of God is what will have composed and guarded your soul, his own. The disturbance of the devil entered him. He can't make sound judgment anymore. If he gets to the office, the key, he wants to leave the office, he tries to open the door of his car, it doesn't open, which used to happen to every 504 that was ever sold in this world. Did your father's 504 not have key problem? He interprets it as a problem of the country. Can you see? Even the car we are driving, the keys are not working. You see what I'm saying? Even the cars. He goes on the road, he sees 4Q. We are dead, we are dead. It's the church he goes to. It's not just him. And he doesn't know. In the evening, he goes back to that same church. Another pastor ministers for the day. Under the same anointing. And that one, he doesn't know that it's Satan. He preaches the same gospel to the guy, the same bad news. Because another person has said it, not knowing it's the same inspiration, he believes it. It's true. Yesterday, of course, the person saying it doesn't believe it. He's just gisting. I wish you would understand. That's how men behave. They have to talk. And God has allowed the devil to give them those inspired bottles to help them. Open door for evil spirits. They just start talking. The man talking to you doesn't believe what he's saying. He's just ministering. Another one comes, says it. By the time they finish confusing me in that church he goes to, I come to one of my man, one of the guys who worked in my office those days. He said, St. Paul's Bottling Church. You know. I asked him, sir, which church do you go to? He said, which church do I go to? He said, I go to St. Paul's Bottling Cathedral. So the guy, they minister so much fear into him. That's why he will take 1.5 million naira. 1.5 million naira. When a resident doctor was earning 10,000 in a month, he will take 1.5 million to join an Atilogu group because he wants to go on a visiting visa to America, which means 6 months after he arrives there, he's an illegal immigrant. Should I end the story for you? He didn't get the visa. After all of that, did not get it. Let's not sit on him, I beg. Let's sit on what we would have done. If it was you or me that mistakenly found ourselves under the ministration of Satan like that, God is not worried. He knows you will come back home. He knows you will sit down. He knows you will kneel down beside that bed. He knows you will pray and say, Father, we have to talk. This is what I heard. And then the Holy Spirit will tell you, number one, don't go to that church anymore. You understand by church now? Yes, don't go there. The Holy Spirit will tell you simply. They are lying to you. Then these words that you heard somewhere else suddenly start coming. You will pick your Bible and then you start reading Psalm 34. Those things will suddenly have sense. Do you understand? It will make sense to you. And you will wake up and say, what is it after all? You see? And that picture starts building. Is it not the same country that this man is in? You start mentioning names. Are they not doing well? What has happened to them? You start mentioning. I beg, forget it, y'all. If God is with me, who can be against me? And you are saying this, you are not any 1.5 million naira to pay anybody. You don't even have a job yet. But so that's why it's called the peace of God that does what? Passes all understanding. What am I saying? That's how we tackle the problems of tomorrow. And I said, a day will come. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You will look back and you suddenly start laughing. And the wife you'll have married then and will tell you, my husband, why are you laughing? Say, I just remembered 18 years ago, somebody tried to scare me. That the things I was afraid of, do you know I have over... That is, I forgot until now. I just remembered and realized that I've overcome all of them. I thought I would never have a job. Right now, how many people did I employ last week? They said, your wife will remind you 4. They said, oh no, I forgot to mention the driver. 5. Uh-huh. I've not given out 5 jobs in 1 week. And I thought I would never have a job. Then you start laughing. You start laughing. And let me guarantee you, you will laugh.
Amen.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter. There a prince explained something when he read that scripture. When I listened to one of his messages. He said, we didn't start laughing. Our mouths were filled with laughter. It wasn't a deliberate effort to laugh. It was that suddenly we couldn't stop laughing. Let me say it again. You will laugh.
Amen.
Let me end my message for today. Everything that has worried you. Maybe you see, your auntie, she's been married for 19 years, she didn't have a child. Your sister. Your mother reminded you that it took her 11 years to conceive you. Are you getting my point? You never marry you, you're already afraid. You're already, that is, anytime you see on television, Alaji Water, I can make a woman conceive in 2 weeks. You take his phone number down. And you're not married though. On your wedding day, everybody is dancing. You go dance more, you go pause. The thing is in a style. No, be style. It's as the fear comes. You know, you go see. Somebody touched me, you know. Fear touched me. Let me announce to you today. One day, all your children will be running up and down. Amen. And you will remember and you will start laughing. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will do contraception, it will fail. You didn't hear what I said? Amen. You will be so fertile. Eh? You will do contraception, it will fail. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just so that God will confirm that He is the one that brought victory into your life. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, there are those who say, somebody say, this person went abroad. You would think and say, in my family, they know they fly. So people say, I'm afraid of flying. It's a lie. They don't have the money to buy the ticket. You know the day you will laugh? Either the day you hire your third pilot. Are you getting my point? Or the day they offer you a plane to buy, you just say, I don't need a personal one. Let's use it for commercial purposes. You will look back and you will laugh.
Amen.
I said you will laugh.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know, you went for a few visas. It happened. You tried. But a day will come. It's as you are, that is, as you are arriving home, and everybody said, Daddy, welcome, welcome, welcome. You realize that in the last 3 weeks, you've been to 6 countries. And you're only back home because you are tired. And you remember the day you thought that people like you don't travel. And you will start laughing. And your children will say, Daddy, why are you laughing? And you won't even know how to explain. Because they thought traveling is a normal way by which children spend holiday. I said, you will laugh. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what God wants to do. He doesn't want fear. Because what fear does, anxiety, is to take us away from the path through which God will have done these things. That's what fear does. That's what anxiety does. So he said, don't have any fear, any anxiety. Don't fret about anything. If anything comes to your mind trying to stir up those things, he said, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I have thought about it in life. There is nothing that I ever imagined that God won't give to me. I don't know why people are flying into space. Otherwise, I would have told God to add me on the list. I don't know what I want to see. The picture is good enough for me. Let the astronauts go to the International Space Station, take the photo. I believe them. Otherwise, I would have said, God, meet you, I'm traveling. Pastor Banky went. I don't know. I put it on the list. Listen. I will even forget it. I tell my wife once in a while, I say, don't worry. Say, you and these children, when I'm kind all of you to go for holiday, I'm never going to see any friends. I will tell my friend, rent a house next to yours because I'm coming with my whole family and anybody who happens to be with me that time. I will buy the ticket, fly there, rent the house, rent a car, sit down, and it's nothing, because there are things I don't believe God, you know, but I believe God. You understand what I'm saying? Let us pray. In the name of Jesus, every devil holding my dollar and my ticket, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, I rebuke you, I rebuke you. Holy Ghost, fire against you. Money, come, so that on holiday, go for Bibati. There are things that we must drop, you know what I mean? You'll drop from the pocket. Say, how far? How much is the ticket for everybody? 2.8 million. Am I fine? Business class, first class, or which one? I said, that's economist. I go slap you. All right? Who better tickets? Okay, everything 3.2. Okay. Just give the person a check. Did I hear a name? It didn't happen. I used to tell my wife those days. I said, you're not going anywhere until I can count money. You are going abroad, take this £1,000, spend it. I don't go somewhere and say, hey, you know, I came from Nigeria. Aye! Poverty mentality. No. There's nowhere. Look, from my house, either the time I traveled or my wife that's always going here, going there. There's nowhere she goes, she doesn't spend money. Beg anybody for money for what? Last time she traveled, she said she brought a lot of things for her sister. Sister and I said, how much? She looked at her and said, how much for what? Like, what do you mean, how much? It's a gift. I bought you presents from Nigeria, from the beautiful land that flows with milk and honey. My sister said, don't be angry. Another relative, that's her husband's relative, that comes there. If he bring you people in Domi, you go convert them to pounds. And I go pay. So that's why I'm asking you, how much? I said, how much for what? I'm coming to your house. I'm staying there free of charge, eating free. Which one? I bring something from you from Nigeria. I still, my wife, it's a poverty mentality. And I'm telling you, don't go abroad and gang. If you don't have money to pay, don't go in your cousin's house. Stay and say, you know, say, you go chop him food. He's buying that food, though. You think in America they give out food free of charge? Anyway, it's not your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your portion is that when you arrive, you take the children out, you blow £100 on them. Next time you are coming, they say, uncle is coming. Amen. They'll be praying. Father, this Christmas that is coming, let us have our uncle from Nigeria. let him come again. Let him come again. Because you know when you are leaving, this is how you deep hand pocket. £20, £20, £20. Uh-huh. Okay, you're a big boy, take 100. All of them go, they jog, say, Baba. I said, that would be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The things that you that will have been fear for you, you ask God about them, God will turn those things inside out, and one day you will look back, and laughter will fill your mouth, literally, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because our time has gone, let's just give the Lord and say, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. Say, Lord, thy will be done in my life. You know what that means now. We're not just talking blankets or anything. No. We are speaking specifics now. Say, Lord, thy will be done in my life in the name of Jesus. I reject fear. I present my troubles to you. My future I put in your hands. I am careful about nothing. But in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I make my request known unto you. I receive the peace of God. It passes all understanding. I receive the peace of God. That is, even when I have not physically received something outward, I'm already rejoicing like I have received it. It's called the peace of God. I receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not lack. I will not die young. Listen, when you hear stories, somebody dies, it can bring fear of death into you. But you go to God in prayer and overcome that thought, overcome that anxiety in the name of Jesus. Say, I will not die. Say to the Lord, Father, I thank you. I am not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of old age sickness. They say at this particular age, men start getting this kind of cancer. I said, that's not my portion in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I cast my worries upon you, my anxieties, everything that wants to trouble me. I cast them upon you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Father, we thank you because indeed you have heard us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord.